You're listening to David Kaplan. Weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 1000, this hour brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs and for all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring. It's the card you can count on, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, through it all. Thank you, Jesse Rogers. Thank you, Jeff Passan from ESPN. And thank you, Danny Zetterman and Chris Bleck, for doing what you do. I'm David Kaplan. We're live at the baseball winter meetings. We're at the Grand Hyatt in San Diego, California, day two. Things will pretty much wrap up by Thursday morning once the Rule 5 draft is completed. Those are players that have 5 years of service time in an organization but have not been promoted to the 40-man major league roster. So you can usually find, you know, some decent players. Occasionally there's, you know, a stud that emerges, like Johan Santana was a Rule 5 pick. There are occasionally guys that injury or slow starts to their careers just don't seem to get it done, and they end up in another organization. But the rule is, if you pluck someone off somebody's Rule 5 pick, you have to keep them on your major league roster the entire season. So when you only get 25 and now it's going to 26, and you grab some guy who's been in Class A that you think has a lot of upside, but he's not obviously ready to be a big leaguer, he has to be in the big leagues, or you have to offer him back to his original organization at half the amount of money that you paid, which is $50,000. So you have to offer him back for $25,000. Who wouldn't do that? And they get the prospect back. So it's a tough process. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We're going to talk to Jim Bowden in just a little while. And then 11:25, Rick Hahn is going to join us right here on set. And if you have a question you'd like me to ask the White Sox VP and general manager, he's the guy with the checkbook, and he said he's got a lot of balls in the air. He said, we're talking to a lot of people about a number of different things, but he said, I'm not desperate to make a deal, because if you operate from a position of being desperate, you will make a bad deal. He's got money. He's got prospect capital that he's willing to use only in a deal that gives him somebody that he controls long-term. He said, I'm not doing any one-year rentals with any of our high-end prospects. So the Sox have got a number of things they're thinking about. We'll see where it all heads. And you just heard Jesse and Jeff Passan, their thoughts on potentially moving Wilson Contreras or Chris Bryant. And Passan said that the Padres told him, yes, they were very interested in Wilson Contreras, but that the asking price is so ridiculous from the Cubs that he right now did not think that anything was going to get done, at least not at this point in time, unless the price came down. Jim Bowden is coming over. He was the GM of the Reds for a long time, then the Washington Nationals, and now he's a star of the MLB Network. And I always love talking baseball with my guy, and he's here on set with us now. JB, how are you, buddy?
Cap, great to be with you.
Great to be with you.
I love the fact that we had the Strasburg signing to start everything Monday.
Yep.
Scott Boras promised us Fast and Furious. There it was.
He did.
Brian Cashman landed yesterday, walked right in and made a record-breaking offer to Cole that was more than what Strasburg got. Good way to get it going here. So now let's grind and let's blow this thing up. When's Chris Bryant getting traded to the Nationals? When's that going down, Cap?
Do you think the Nationals are in play there?
Well, I can tell you the Braves are not in play.
Okay.
If that's helpful for the teams that are looking for third baseman. I don't think there's any doubt that Washington's going to move on from Rendon.
Okay.
They're not going to go down that path with that 7-year exposure that it's going to take. So he's going to go to Texas or L.A. or he's going to Philadelphia. He's going somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So Washington matches up pretty well.
Yep.
Because Bryant fits the criteria that they want. They're trying to win another World Series the next couple of years. Bryant, you're going to control, we think, for 2 more years.
Yep.
I would think for 2 more years. It's going to be really bad for baseball if it's not 2 more years, Cap.
Yep.
And I think there's a match. They have a good enough farm system. Chicago's got to get younger, cheaper here. Theo's got to redo this thing. So, yeah, I think there's a possibility here that something happens between those two teams.
When you say that, and there are fans who keep tweeting at me, Just write more checks, Mr. Ricketts. What do you mean we've got to get younger, cheaper? Explain that, because you sat in the GM seat.
Well, you don't have any flexibility right now to do anything. So, you know, you can't take this existing team and add to it. I mean, you're one of three teams that are over the luxury tax threshold. So, you know, what are you going to do here? You know, when you have a team this long and you build up that kind of payroll, then the GM's got no flexibility. You know, you can't go get a Merrifield to lead off. Like, you're handcuffed. So to unhandcuff, you're going to have to break it down and go back up again. I mean, that's just what you have to do. That's that cyclical thing. Theo did for the Cubs fans as much as you could possibly do to try to hold on to this core that won a world championship.
Probably too long.
He tried but he tried everything. What he doesn't want to do is do what the Philadelphia Phillies and the Detroit Tigers did, where you wait too long and you don't get back for 7 years. You don't want that to happen. So you knock it down before it gets to catastrophe level. You cut the timeline in half. So maybe you win in 2 or 3 years instead of 7 years. And that's why you got to make these unpopular moves that Cubs fans are going to get upset about. But the greatest thing about Cubs fans, it doesn't matter. You lose 100 games, that place is loaded, man. I was there when they were bad for years. I go into Wrigley Field, and I felt like they were the world champions. Like, Cubs fans are the best.
They support.
Oh, man. And the deep dish pizza. Oh.
The best.
And the Chicago dogs with all that stuff on it upstairs on the grill.
It's the greatest.
So, Buster only said yesterday, Chris Bryant doesn't have the value out there that you people all may think he does. Does he?
Does anyone right now with 1 or 2 years left have the value that they had 5, 10, 15 years ago? No. And the GMs are too smart. I mean, Chaim Bloom's calling people on Mookie Betts and going, really? That's the offer for Mookie Betts? Well, it's 1 year.
Right.
You know, GMs don't think about winning right now anymore. You know, people always ask me about the Dodgers and Stan Kasten and Andrew Friedman and what they do in L.A. They don't try to win a World Series. They want to win the division every single year, and they figure if you win enough, you'll win a World Series.
Eventually.
Atlanta won the division 14 years in a row under Stan Kasten and John Schultz. Won one World Series, right?
Right.
L.A.'s going to win one. They're going to keep winning the division if they do nothing. So, you know, that's just the way the game is. So, for Bryant, you're not going to get what you want, but you will get a premium, everyday, big league prospect that will never develop into a player as good as Chris Bryant.
But you'll also move the money, which allows you to be on handcuffs.
You're going to start having more flexibility to go forward.
Okay. Jeff Passan was just in that chair a few minutes ago, and he said he talked to the Padres, and they said, yeah, we love Wilson Contreras. Theo's asking price is obscene. Do you believe that, and is he worth that?
Of course. Oh, look, I was there when Theo – Theo and I made the first internet trade in baseball history. When he was GM of the Red Sox, he and I, Tony Blanco, I got in a trade. I forget who he got. We didn't even talk on the phone. We just emailed. We didn't even text back then. It was email. But that was the first email trade ever made in baseball history. I've been dealing with Theo forever. So Theo had some similarities with Al Campanis, the late Dodger GM, in only one regard. When they walk into the room, all of their players are the greatest in the world, and all of yours aren't. And when he asks for a trade, it's like, I need all of this for this one player. Like, the ask is just always absurd. But that's what makes Theo good. He'll change. The price will change. And he'll, when he's ready, he'll make a deal when he likes it. I mean, you know, he's made some bad deals to win world championships, right? Gleyber Torres for Aroldis Chapman. For 2 months of him, bad deal. You win a World Series, who cares?
Correct.
It's not about
you got the ring.
It's not about winning trades. It's about winning world championships.
Correct.
Theo's done it twice, once in Boston, once in Chicago, when he's going to the Hall of Fame. But if I'm going to trade Contreras or Bryant and I'm trying to rebuild, I'm not moving Contreras and Bryant because I want to. I'm moving them because I want to get 2, 3, 4, 5 prospects back that allows me to rebuild quick. So when I call San Diego, I'm going to ask for Mackenzie Gore. I'm not going to get him. I'm going to ask for Patino. You know, I'm going to ask for their good prospects because that's how I'm going to win.
Okay. Rick Hahn will be here a little bit later. He has a checkbook. He has an owner who said, okay, let's go get some players. They tried to get Zach Wheeler. They didn't get it done. Will anyone take the White Sox money, and if not, why?
I think they'll take the White Sox money, just be the highest bidder. I mean, the one thing that's great with Boris having a monopoly of this free agent class is his history is clear and concise. most years, most dollars, get my player.
Period.
Unless there's a player that tells me I have to do something differently, and I'll do what my client wants, mm-hmm. I'm taking my guy most years, most dollars. And he will persuade his player to do that, regardless of the situation. You saw when he signed his big guys with the Detroit Tigers and his long history, Texas Rangers, then he went to Washington. So, yeah, just have the most years, most dollars on the table, and you can get Ryu in, Bumgarner.
Would you sign those guys?
Yeah, sure.
You would?
Yeah, it's all about years and price. I mean, I wouldn't have done Wheeler at 5/118. I would have walked away.
They went to 125.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have done that because I don't think Wheeler's a one or a two. And I'm being told when I've asked the people involved with the deal that he got, they said they're paying him for what they think he's going to do, not what he's done. I'm not sure at age 29 that we can look at Wheeler and say for sure that there's a whole nother level. I'm not sure I get the Gerrit Cole comparison. I don't see them the same. I never have since they were drafted. I didn't see it when the Wheeler-Beltran trade happened. I always liked Wheeler. I think he's a high-risk injury guy, and I think he's a game three starter, not a game one starter.
Who is a game one starter that's available other than Cole?
No, that's it. You had Cole and Strasburg. You had two guys.
How much would you pay Gerrit Cole?
What team am I? Am I the Yankees?
You're the Yankees or the Angels?
Yeah. Whatever it takes. I'll get the player.
Okay, so if
I don't care.
He said to
it's
you.
It's not my money.
It's 9 years
yep.
at $35 million a
yep,
year.
Yeah, done.
In.
Done. Look, I had projected 8 years, $288, and I was the highest one out there that I ever read or saw anywhere. And I said on Sunday when I got here, I'm going to be really low.
How
and they
high is
said,
it going?
You're crazy. I had Strasburg 7,238. He got 7,245. Mm-hmm. So I was 7 under. But if you look at the net present value, I was a lot closer than that. Mm-hmm. But Cole is in a dynamic that is really bad for clubs and really good for himself. The backup plan is now gone. Mm-hmm. If you're the Yankees or you're the Angels, if you didn't get Cole, you want to get Strasburg.
He's gone.
But he's gone. So the backup plan is now Bumgarner, which, by the way, I think he ends up with the Angels after Cole does the Yankee deal, but whatever. So what happened, and they'll let him hit, by the way, mm-hmm. for those that say, oh, he won't go to the American League, he wants to hit. No. Joe Maddon will let him hit. He doesn't have to play DH that day. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the problem with Cole is, let's look at the Yankees, right? After next year, Tanaka and Paxton are free agents. Mm-hmm. What in the world are they going to do a year from now? You really think you're going to trade and get a top-of-the-rotation starter? The Yankees? When the Yankees call to make trades, you're the Yankees.
Yep.
Your price is different. You think they're going to help the Yankees out? No.
So you want my guy, I want Gleyber Torres.
So this is going to hurt. This contract's going to be one where the whole world's going to go, oh, are you kidding me?
So does he go north of 320?
This morning, maybe. If that's what if that's what it takes. And by the way, you got a problem with Artie Moreno, too, because he could pull off the same thing he did at the NNL Hotel in Dallas a few years ago. I was sitting at a booth like you have right now, and the Rule 5 draft was about to start, and the word came down that Pujols had signed that deal with the Angels. And we didn't even know they were in it, and we were stunned. And we looked at the numbers and said, are you kidding me? Well, think of what's going to happen here. What if the Yankees don't get Cole? Where are they going next year? OMG.
Yeah.
Hashtag OMG, I guess, this generation.
Yeah,
sorry,
no question.
Yeah.
So we could have the Angels go, I don't care. I need him. Artie Moreno, someone said to me yesterday,
Joe Maddon thinks he's getting him.
Yeah.
I asked Tony La Russa this question yesterday. I said, Tony, if the price was $8,288, like I'm saying, and Epler and Artie come to you and say, what do you think? He said, get him. He said, it's not my money. I'll tell every owner, spend it. I want the player.
Yeah, someone said to me, Artie Moreno is going to go, okay, he wants 10 at 3 whatever. Do it. I may be dead when that deal's done. I don't care. I want to win.
We could end up at 10-350 and all be sitting here going, what the F just happened?
Right.
Hashtag WTF.
That's it.
Let's go to break. You want to?
Yeah. Thank you for your time. You're the best.
Thanks, Cap.
We're a big fan.
Ciao.
All right. We got to take a time out. Hey, introducing small business banking from First Midwest Bank. Bring your small business needs to the banking experts at First Midwest Bank. Our bankers specialize in small business with many ideas on how to help your small business grow. Maybe you need a line of credit. Or you need a loan for expansion. Maybe you need help with investment advice and succession planning. First Midwest Bank offers personal bankers, mobile banking, and local decision makers to help your small business. First Midwest Bank. Bank, proud to be your local Chicago bank. And First Midwest Bank is the third largest independent bank in Chicago. No matter what your small business needs may be, all the bankers at First Midwest Bank will help you expand your small business. You have plans for your small business? First Midwest Bank has ideas to make sure all your business needs and goals are realized. Talk to a banker today about your small business. Go into your local First Midwest Bank branch today. All loans and lines are subject to credit approval. Rick Hahn joins us next.
Live from San Diego all this week, we take you behind the scenes of the winter meetings with Cap and Company. Brought to you by White Claw Pure Hard Seltzer.
White Sox!
You're listening to Cap and Company live from San Diego, brought to you by White Claw Pure Hard Seltzer. We are behind the scenes with the baseball winter meetings on ESPN 1000.
All right, welcome back. I'm Cap and Company. We're in San Diego for the 2019 MLB winter meetings, and we get to talk to Rick Hahn, the executive VP and GM of the White Sox. How are you?
Doing all right. How about you guys?
Good. You having fun?
Sure, we'll go with fun. We'll go with fun. Look, it's fundamentally, I'm a fan. Mm-hmm. Like, I grew up loving the winter meetings.
Yep.
Running home
Same
from
here.
School, calling sports phone to find out what was going on.
976-1313.
Yep. So I've always been into sort of the fever pitch and the excitement at mm-hmm. the winter meetings. And obviously, if it were up to us, we'd knock off all of our goals uh-huh. for the offseason in 1 week, as soon as possible. Ideally, we would have done it 2 weeks ago. But we have to sort of balance that out, that excitement, that mm-hmm. eagerness to get stuff done, that sort of fever pitch that comes with the winter meetings with, you know, being realistic about the pace, being realistic about making good deals, not rushing anything, knowing that when we gather again at Camelback Ranch to get ready for the season, no one's going to be like, hey, I really liked that you picked this player up, but why'd you get him on December 18th instead of at the winter meetings?
Like, right.
It doesn't matter.
They don't care.
Exactly.
And you made a quote yesterday when we went to your media session where you said, I'm not desperate to make a deal. I'm open for business. Because right. if you're desperate, you make bad deals.
That's absolutely right. And that's the mild risk. I don't think it's a real true risk. We got enough smart people up there in the room that if I come up with something stupid, they'll stop me.
Right.
But there is that mild risk that you get sort of caught up and we're at the winter meetings. Let's do something. Hey, we're close on this. Screw it. Let's just do it. Even though a week ago, when we're under a more relaxed environment in Chicago, we rejected that idea. So, again, it's about making smart baseball decisions, trying to rule out, eliminate the noise. There is a little not only heightened anticipation, but, you know, the clubs are here to do business. The agents are here to do business. So there's maybe an increased chance that you do something now. But, again, if doing Yasmani Grandal the Thursday before Thanksgiving is every bit as satisfying as getting a similarly impactful player in January. I'd rather do it sooner, but we got to do it when it actually lines up.
So when you sit in the room and GM X is on the speakerphone and he goes, okay, I want so-and-so and here's what I'll do for you, or I'm an agent, I want that contract. How many guys weigh in where you're thinking, I might do that, and somebody on the other side of the room goes, have you lost your mind? No chance. You can't do that.
We try to make it an environment. And this goes back. This is the way Jerry's done business. It's the way Kenny did it for years. We don't care about titles in the room. Everyone's in there because of some level of core competency in a specific area. We allow people to sort of grow beyond that area. You know, Chris Getz, I don't want his opinion just on our farm system. He's a smart baseball man. He's seen a bunch of big leaguers. I want his opinion on certain free yep. agents that he's familiar with or guys he's played with over the years. So it's really anyone in that room can step up and be like, hey, what are you thinking here? Why are we doing this? Or come up with a different idea. In the end, you know, when it comes down to nutcracking time, it's a conversation with Kenny and a conversation with Jerry, and you want to have that conviction to push it through. And before you get to that point, there's a lot of other voices weighing in and opinions we value.
You also have to juggle a lot of other balls, because I had someone tell me who was in the room. He said, okay, guy takes a job. He meets with the medical staff, and the medical staff says, you got to trade that guy. He's about to blow out. He may have a year. You cannot invest long term. So he goes, okay, gotcha. He moves him. He's like, yeah, until this year, Max Scherzer was never on the disabled list. He goes, so I made a horrible trade. Like, in the end, people look and go, well, that GM's an idiot. Why would he do that? How do you juggle all those different balls and philosophies?
I mean, it's funny. You know, one of the things I've lost – in this chair is my ability to get too worked up when the Bulls or the Blackhawks or the Bears do something I disagree with. Mm-hmm. I've lost that fan element because although my visceral reaction may be like, what the heck's up with that trade or why'd they sign that guy or not sign that guy, the GM part of me pulls back and realizes that there's so much other information that factors into these decisions that mm-hmm. never is going to become public. You referred to health. You referred to, we didn't refer to, but other considerations are how a guy fits in the clubhouse, off the field issues, stuff that may in the end like absolve us from a certain move. Like, hey man, if you knew XYZ, you'd do it in a second. Right. I've got one sentence I could tell you about this guy and you would say you don't want him on your team.
Right.
But we don't go there. It's part of the gig. You wear it. You make the best decision for the White Sox organization, and you move on. But it has cost me that sort of almost mildly meathead fan reaction
right.
to my other teams that I
like
follow.
We do 5 days a week on the radio or TV.
And get paid for it. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing. So Joe Girardi sitting right there as he used the same term, wear it. Mm-hmm. He said, yeah, you may go on your post-game show and go, what an idiot. Why would he bring that reliever in when he knows that guy gets lit up by that guy? He said, because I'm not telling you that the three guys that you think I should be using actually have other reasons I don't want you to know about that I couldn't use them.
Exactly.
He goes, so I wear it.
Exactly. And that happens, obviously, more often during the course of the season to a manager, mm-hmm. especially with that example that Joe used in terms mm-hmm. of bullpen usage. There's always stuff that just makes no sense for a team to reveal, even though it would be a little more edifying or at least absolve them of a questionable decision here or there. But again, that's not... It's not professional. It's not classy. It's not the way we want to be known as an organization that treat people the right way, do things the right way, and goes about our business quietly and hopefully very effectively.
So I have said on the air, full disclosure, that I believe your window really opens 2021, not 2020. I know you had a big offer out to Zach Wheeler. I know you're trying to get your checkbook out. Jerry has said, hey, I'm getting any younger. I want to win here. Sox fans who are listening to the show and on a bunch of them have been tweeting in, when is it time for them to go, all right, it's time to win, damn it?
It's funny because we are entering that stage now where you can start to smell it, mm-hmm. where you look around the diamond at what we've accumulated, which, by the way, coincidentally started 3 years ago today.
Yeah, you traded Chris Sale 3 years ago today. I said that earlier.
Exactly. So, you know, we've suffered, so to speak, paid the price in those first 3 years, which makes you even more eager to get to that promised land, to get to that finish line. You see what Moncada's been doing. You believe in Eloy. You know Luis Robert's coming. You've seen what some of the young starters have done. We're starting to get some of these guys back healthy. So you can smell it. But there's also a mild danger in mm-hmm. being overly aggressive to force a window open mm-hmm. versus being aggressive when that window is open. The time to be aggressive is absolutely when the window's open and you're playing for October and to build a championship team. What we're balancing right now is how close are we to that window being open, and are there moves that we can make to help accelerate that time frame, to open that window perhaps sooner than anticipated, but at the same time not compromising us for the long term. That's the balancing act this offseason. As when we talk a year from now, I don't know what city we're going to be in mm-hmm. for the winter meetings. It's going to, I think, be a
Dallas.
Real different – excellent. It'll be a different feel. I think it'll be a different feel because people will be like, this is based on whatever happens over 2020. We contend or we just take a step forward. People are going to look at us and be like, now it's go time, obviously. This year, I understand the debate.
I have an executive in the game who's been a great confidant and a good friend. And he said, let me tell you something, because when you talk to Rick Hahn, he said he's walking a tightrope. He said, because he thinks Lucas Giolito's the guy he had this year. He goes, now if he does it for another year, now he knows he's that guy. Same with Moncada. He said, Luis Robert, as great as we all think he's going to be, hasn't had one at-bat as a major leaguer. He goes, so if Rick pushes all his chips in and goes, all right, I'll trade that prospect, I'll sign that guy bigger than I wanted to, and then something goes wrong, he's like, oh, my God, I gave up my flexibility mm-hmm. without all the facts. Is that fair?
That's fair. And sometimes you don't have the benefit of waiting and letting things play out. Obviously, the more information you had, the more confident you are in making any decision. The guy's doing it for multiple years, you feel a lot better about the next year
right.
looking similar. I will say that like when you refer to guys like Giolito or Moncada, guys who had big, big prospect pedigrees, guys we targeted for a reason, them reaching this level now reinforces our sort of longer-term view of who
yep.
they're going to be. I think there are nice lessons in each of those players, though, and it goes to an extent to Luis Robert, like you said, is sometimes it takes a little time. So part of the equation is, even if Giolito and Moncada are who we think they are next year, what's Luis Robert going to be next year?
Right.
We think the world of him. We think he's a fantastic prospect, and he may be the best of all this group when it's all said and done. How long is it going to take? He's had one full professional year. We're very optimistic that he's going to make an impact next year, and it could be a huge impact. But that's sort of the question you're like, that's going to go a long way to dictate when this window opens and how long it extends for us. How much can those young guys take that step, whether it's Moncada and Giolito continuing what they're doing, Dylan Cease taking that next step, Eloy going to the next level we know he has in him, and how quickly the young guys such as Luis Robert are going to make an impact when they get to Chicago.
We're talking to White Sox GM Rick Hahn. How much do you hate social media? Because, you know, my brother, who's the biggest Sox fan in the world, text me the other day, we're getting Marcelo Zuna. And then you've got to put out a fire because someone else might have had an agenda putting something else out. And it may also affect somebody else you're talking to.
I've almost gotten used to that element, the rumors on the free agents. And really, the rules literally prohibit me from being like, no, we're not talking to that guy because you don't want to mess up with their market. So those rules exist for a reason. So in a situation like that, we're kind of resigned to the fact that that thing's just going to take on a life, and at some point the agent's going to extinguish it if it's not true, or people are going to realize there's no press conference on Monday or whatever was supposedly the rumor. The ones that still get to me, candidly, are the ones that involve trade rumors involving our players. Because then you know, we deal with the human being side of things, and then knowing that the player X, who's a White Sox, and maybe even a guy you're fully counting on to be a White Sox for a long time, is seeing his name tossed about, like that there's an interpersonal side of that one that we have to sort of damage control on. I think I've gotten better over the years on the being concerned about what noise is out there that's false about us. But that when it starts hitting our current players or guys in our farm system, that I'm still a little sensitive on that one.
Are you at all concerned that, okay, I've got a checkbook. I may not be able to pay that guy $350 million, but I can write a big check now, biggest that we've ever written. I got to get someone to take my money.
Really not. I mean, obviously the events of the last 10 days would indicate the other way. But I think that's something in isolation. I think you need to, from our perspective, these guys who become premium-type free agents, they've worked so darn hard to get 6 years in the big leagues in, to exercise their rights on their collective bargaining agreement, that you've got to respect the fact that in the end, their decision can be based on anything. More often than not, it's based upon the best dollars and best comfort, but it can also be based upon family considerations or travel or six other things that don't even get mentioned over the course of that process. Conversations we've had, starting with Yasmani Grandal, who is obviously a big target for us and other clubs that we beat out in order to close that deal. People are excited about where this team's going. People want to be part of winning in Chicago. The future of this team and the city obviously pretty much sell itself. In the end, you know, we're going to do what we think's smart from an economic standpoint. If that's not enough, that's the nature of free agency. But there's nothing about coming to the White Sox that we need to, like, overcome, so to speak, with dollars. People want to be part of this.
Last one. I told you this a long time ago, and I've said it on the air a million times. I felt like the White Sox, prior to 3 years ago when your fingerprints were on, here's what we're doing, Jerry bought in, you made a great trade for Chris Sale, and you made the Quintana deal, that you didn't stay as loyal as an organization to your individualized player plans where, oh, let's rush Carson Fulmer to the big leagues. Rodon, let's get you up here faster. I feel like now, while it's painful to go through, there is a plan and you're loyal to it. How hard is it to stay that way?
It's a great question because I do feel like we are very diligent to our plan, and it's important to do that. But as I alluded to earlier, when you start getting close to that next stage, that stage that we've all been waiting for, that we're eager to get to, that White Sox fans want to get to, that people made a big deal about me mentioning that Jerry wants to get to, which is obvious for a guy with seven rings, there's a temptation to push on the accelerator. We're aggressive. We will continue to be aggressive, especially when we know that window is open. And if there's things we can do to accelerate that window getting here that don't compromise us for the long term, such as rushing a guy, as you alluded to, then we'll explore it.
Best of luck.
Appreciate
we
it.
We love having you on.
Thanks for the time, Cap.
There you go. There he is, Rick Hahn, Executive VP and General Manager of the Chicago White Sox. Hey, guys, are you ready to heat things up this Christmas? Go with a win-win this year. Give her something that'll make her feel hot and heat up your holidays, too. How? The super warm, world-famous Hoodie Footy from our friends at Pajamagram. Let's face it, it's hard to be hot when she's freezing cold. Hoodie Footy is the ultimate solution. It combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footy pajamas. Head-to-toe warmth means she'll be cozy in no time, and it gets even better because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. That's like icing on the cake for you because it means you don't have to wrap a thing, Danny. They're also backed by a 100% lifetime guarantee, and delivery by Christmas is guaranteed, so you risk nothing. Want more? Pajamagram celebrating 10 years of Hoodie Footy. So right now, for a limited time, you could save $10 on adult-sized Hoodie Footies when you use the code SAVE10 at checkout. So go to pajamagram.com today and use the code SAVE10. That's pajamagram.com, SAVE10, and tell them Cap sent you. You know what we should do? Danny, we should do a onesie day before the holidays. Me, you, Black, do the show in onesies. What?
Cap, I do not want to see you in a onesie.
My wife actually just bought onesies for all the kids. Me, we're all, my sister-in-law and her kids, we all get together for Christmas Eve. We're all going to be in onesies.
And you know who the big winners are of that? Your social media followers, because I guarantee we're going to see that.
100%. 100%. All right, we've got to take a quick timeout. We will come back. We're going to crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko at the top of the hour. But I'd love to get some calls in. We haven't had a chance to take as many calls today. So if you'd like to dial in, 312-332-3776. We could talk football. We could talk the struggling Bulls. Or we're here at the winter meetings. You got a baseball question, fire away. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back on ESPN 1000.
Live from San Diego all this week, we take you behind the scenes of the winter meetings with Cap and Company. Brought to you by White Claw Pure Hard Seltzer.
We're talking Bears and Packers. Former Packer offensive lineman Mark Tauscher joins us. So does Trey Wingo, and we check in on the baseball winter meetings. We start at 2 on ESPN 1000.
All right, thank you, T-Wad, and welcome back here on ESPN 1000. We're in San Diego at the baseball winter meetings. Danny Zetterman's with me. Chris is back in Chicago spinning the dials. And got a full day of activities planned around here because I've got to do TV all the way until, I don't know, 8 o'clock tonight or whatever it is. But, Danny, you get to explore the city a little bit.
I took a nice walk yesterday. I came back to the hotel, and I listened to some of the guys talk, and it just took in the atmosphere of being here at the MLB winter meetings. But luckily for me, I don't have to do TV like you till 9 o'clock at night. So I got to wander around San Diego's gas lamp district yesterday. Mm-hmm. Really cool area. I haven't been to San Diego since I was like 6 years old. I came with my parents. We went to the zoo. I don't really remember much of it. This is a really cool town. The weather here is amazing, but I'll tell you this. After the show yesterday, I hadn't eaten, so I went to get something to eat. I went to a restaurant that was serving breakfast, and the place was packed, right? Mm-hmm. And I look, and they have an outdoor area. So I say to the hostess, I say, is the outdoor area closed? Because nobody was outside, and the restaurant was packed.
Same thing happened to me. Yeah.
Restaurant's packed. Nobody's outside. I said, is the outdoor area closed, or can I sit outside? She goes, you could sit outside, but it's too cold. I'm like, too cold? It's 63 degrees. Are you crazy? It's magnificent. Then I came back here because I wanted to see Joe Maddon in the media availability. I came back here to this hotel, and there's a valet standing outside parking people's cars, and he's standing under a heat lamp, 63 degrees under a heat lamp.
Yeah, I went over to the Cheesecake Factory right across the street, and I wanted to get eggs. It's all I wanted, in, out. I had about 20 minutes, and the guy goes, you got to be about 30 minutes for a table. Tables are packed. I go, patio, same as you. He's like, yeah, have at it if you want. There's only one other table taken out there. I walk out, and it's Jerry Reinsdorf and another guy having their lunch on the patio. And I said, could you send my check to that gentleman? He's like, don't spread too much money. I went and sat by myself, got my eggs, got my avocado. I was good. I'm just amazed by how people think it's like winter here.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then I walked around Petco Park. Beautiful ballpark. It's kind of like Wrigley, how it's in the middle of a neighborhood. It's,
yep.
We're staying in the Gaslamp District, and it's right in the Gaslamp District. So I just walked up right around it. People were taking batting practice inside. I'm sure it has something to do with the winter meetings. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe scouts are checking out prospects or people are just inside. But it's a beautiful ballpark. It's a nice little town. I'm enjoying my time in San Diego. I could see myself retiring here one day.
Yeah, looking forward. We're going to go out to dinner tonight after I get done with TV. Go to a fish place that J.D., Jeff Dickerson, recommended.
He said it's the best place in San Diego.
So
J.D. loves it here.
Yeah, he does. Absolutely. And it was fun talking to Rick Hahn. It really was. I think he's exceptionally honest. I think he's exceptionally smart. And, you know, I know fans want it. Let's go already. But as this other executive in the game said to me, your guys on the south side have got to be careful. You can't force it. You've got to know when it's time to go all in, and they're not convinced that it's time yet. One more year.
From all the guests that we've had on today, between Jesse and Jeff Passan and Jim Bowden, it seems as if the Cubs have a little predicament on their hands with Chris Bryant. On one case, they need to get rid of him to free up some money and to get some prospects back. On the other case, it seems like there's a real big logjam at the third base position, and Chris Bryant's in a wait-and-see for a lot of teams. There's guys they prefer over Bryant because they don't have to give up prospects. They just have to give up money. It's going to be interesting what happens with the Cubs and Chris Bryant over the next week.
Yeah, I believe that they were going to leave here and have a big deal done. And while there's a lot of talks going on and a lot of speculation and, you know, people are great with us because we've been around the game a long time. They give us information and intel of what's happening. I'm just not convinced that when we get on the plane on Thursday, one of the big four is no longer a member of the organization. I think it's coming. I'm just not convinced it's going to happen here now unless it comes quick. Like if you tell me Anthony Rendon and Josh Donaldson both signed today, well, then all bets are off. Chris Bryant's the most attractive third baseman on the market. But until those two shoes drop, I'm not convinced as much as I was when we landed here over the weekend that they're ready to make a move. On the White Sox front, look, they're in on Dallas Keuchel. I think they're in on Bumgarner. I think, you know, they're willing to spend north of $100 million to get really good players. They're not in the Gerrit Cole sweepstakes. And even if they were, if the Sox said, okay, we're all in, 9 years, $320 million, they're not going to be able to get him away from either the Yankees or the Angels. I don't believe. That's just fact.
You mentioned earlier that you could see the Cubs trading Jose Quintana.
Mm-hmm.
What about trading him back to the south side?
Yeah, you know, the Sox would never comment on that. I would think that makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense. But if you're Theo, are you trading him back there? He's got 1 year of control.
For
left.
Eloy Jimenez, it's just a trade back.
Yeah.
The old school third grade trade back.
All the Sox fans that are listening right now are all laughing going, that's funny, Danny.
No, yeah, I'm not. Look, I'm just kidding.
Cubs have to admit they made a bad trade. Now, do you move him? You're not going to get as much back as you might think, but you're not going to get as little back as you might think either because he's cost-controlled for 1 year. He's a great dude in the room. He's going to throw close to 200 innings or more. He always stays healthy, knock on wood, and he gives you a solid number 4-5 starter. He's not an elite arm. He's just not. So
wouldn't you rather have Jose Quintana on the south side than Mad Bum? Mad Bum doesn't really do. I mean, if you look at his numbers last year.
No, I'd rather have Bumgarner.
Like he didn't have a stellar year last year. I looked at his numbers this morning before the show started. He did not have an outstanding year. And you're going to pay him a lot of money.
He threw over 200 innings.
Okay. He ate a lot of innings.
Yeah, I would rather have Madison Bumgarner. Me, personally. Guy is a warrior.
Well, you also don't think Jose Quintana is elite, and you called him a Buick. So I'm asking the wrong person. Maybe that's a question for Carmen.
Correct. And so we can let everyone behind the curtain of the Jose Quintana is elite was simply a figment of Chris Black's imagination. That was Dr. Black with his audio wizardry throwing me under the bus. Jose Quintana is as far from elite as they come. I'm just telling you. 312-332-3776. Tomorrow on the show.
I believe Quintana's elite.
Sounds to me like you said it.
Yeah, sorry, Cap. My finger slipped there.
I believe Quintana's elite.
Yeah, it slipped again. Sorry.
You're so funny.
Cap. I believe Quintana's elite.
A third time. Oh, no. What's going on back here?
Quintana is not elite. Is the belief.
Listen, Cap, I appreciate the props you give me for editing audio, but listen, I'm not that good, so there's no way I could have edited that to make you say this when you didn't say it.
I believe Quintana's elite.
Clean.
There really is no edit there.
Where's the edit? Tell us, Cap, where the edit took place.
You know exactly where the edit took place. You took the word not out.
I believe Quintana's elite.
Yeah, no shot. No shot. Anyway, hey, Chris, your Bulls looked really good blowing another game last night.
Yeah, my Bulls? What about the head coach? What's going on there? You guys played the audio at 9:45. That guy does not sound like an NBA head coach.
Look, it's just a bad situation right now when it starts to affect ticket sales, sponsorship dollars. That's what gets management's attention. I'm talking about above Gar and Pax. I'm talking about the Reinsdorf family. Look, they, for many years, Chris, you know this better than anyone, you know, our NBA guy, they were able to sell out every skybox, every ticket. And now when your wife gets mad at you, Chris, she gets mad at you because she cares. She's invested in the relationship. If your wife doesn't care and is apathetic towards you in the relationship, you're in a whole lot more trouble than if she's mad at you. So now you've got what? An announced crowd last night of 14,574, I think I saw the number. There is zero chance. There were more people in this lobby here at the hotel, and the lobby's crowded, but there was no way there were 14,574 in the United Center yesterday. Did you think so?
No, I wouldn't say so. I mean, and it's the apathy is starting to set in, and that's the problem, because I feel like most Bulls fans see on the horizon that nothing will change. Therefore, why should they support this team? You know, like, this
Correct.
Team has talent. They should be playing better. The eighth seed in the playoffs is not that far out of reach. But for some reason, this team is just okay with mediocrity and the way it's being ran. And then they're comfortable with it. And we'll see if something changes now that people are deciding not to go to the United Center. We'll see.
Just remember where we were. We were in San Diego when I told you this. I am going to guarantee that at the end of this season, there will be, at least by Bulls standards, massive change to the organization. Massive. I don't have intel.
But Cap,
from the
Cap,
Bulls side.
Letting go of Gar Forman does nothing. That doesn't appetite. That doesn't
it's
whet
be,
the
it's
appetite
be,
of Bulls
whoa.
Fans.
It's going to be way more than that.
Okay,
I'm just telling you.
Give Bulls fans a reason to hope for the future.
I promise you. I've got, you know, Chris, I worked in the league for 4 years. I've got really good sources.
Uh-huh.
I'm just telling you that now that it has affected the ticket sales, it's affected other things business-wise, the financials can't take a hit like that. I'm telling you, they'll ride this thing out, they'll get a high draft pick, maybe they get lucky in the lottery, and in the end, you will see massive change come to the Bulls. I'm not talking about just Gar Forman. You will see massive change. There will be a brand new plan put in place. There will be a new voice in there. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Just remember I told you that on the Tuesday from the baseball winter meetings. It's going to happen. Anyway, we have to take a timeout. We will crosstalk with the one and only Carmen DeFalco, John Yurkovich. Carmen and Yurko, join me next.
Live from San Diego all this week, we take you behind the scenes of the winter meetings with Cap and Company. Brought to you by White Claw Pure Hard Seltzer.